took time to join us. So tonight we're going to continue looking at the book of Galatians, chapter 5 and 6, which I'm treating as a complete thought on the grace of God. I know the grace of God can be found in the Bible, starting inside the front cover and continuing through the last word. However, I'm not prepared to trace the progression tonight. So after a word of prayer, I'll continue looking at this section of Galatians. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know you're with us wherever we are and whatever happens. We cannot be away from you because you have taken a part of you and put it in each one of us. Your Spirit guides and directs us. It keeps us. Hopefully it guides us through life when we have tough decisions. Most important thing is we have to learn to rely on it and not trust what we think is best. But Heavenly Father, you provide for all of our needs and so much more. And in your plan, you give us more than we could ever attain on our own, because you give us life, life that will never end. So we thank you for all you do. We know there's trials and troubles. They happen, and they're not a surprise to you. And through them, we can grow, and our trust can develop to be more trusting of you every day. So be with us tonight as we open your word. Help us to get the most out of it that we can. And be with us as we unravel your word to the best of our ability. So now we ask your blessing on this time, and we ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We got new ones.
Whatever. Oh.
Thank you.
Oh, can I have a pretty yellow one? Is it yellow?
It's yellow.
Wow, I was right. Thank you, sir. So we're going to read, or I'm going to read, Galatians chapter 5, 13 through 26. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, great peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Last week, in the first part of this chapter, Paul's letter told us in no uncertain terms, we have been set free from the bondage of the law by Christ. If you remember nothing else from Paul's letter, if you remember this, your future has been altered and you have become a child of God. But if you're like me, you wonder if there's more to it. Of course there is. Realizing the freedom that you have been given by God is only a starting point. You've cast off human desires from the role of controlling you. We all need something else to guide and control our life from within us. God knows that, and He provided us with the Holy Spirit, which is God within us. In 1941, before most of us were born, President Roosevelt envisioned four basic freedoms to look forward to: freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. Our world has moved to achieve these in some degree, but there is one fear that Roosevelt did not have on his list. Man needs to be free from himself and from the tyranny of his sinful nature. Look around, watch the news, and it's easy to say that the majority of the world is still held in slavery by sin. People in power rarely look to God for the answer to the problems today. They tend to rely on law and threats to address the situation. No amount of legislation can change the basic sinful nature of mankind. For example, a terrible tasting cake cannot be changed by fancy icing. It's still a terrible tasting cake. Paul explains what does work. Law on the outside of that sinful nature cannot do it. But the Spirit on the inside of that same sinful nature can make a difference. Each one of us needs a power that comes from within, and that power comes from the Holy Spirit of God. The passage I read tonight is the most crucial of this closing section of Galatians. In it, Paul explained three ministries of the Holy Spirit which enable us to be, each one of us, to enjoy the liberty in Christ. First, the Spirit enables us to fulfill the law of love. Now, everyone has a tendency to go to extremes. A believer may interpret liberty as a license and do whatever he wants to do. Another, seeing that this is error, goes to the opposite extreme and begins to impose regulations on everyone. Between license on one hand and legalism on the other, is true Christian liberty. We are called to liberty. The Christian is a free man. He is free from the guilt of sin because God has forgiven it. He is free from the penalty of sin because Christ has died for him on the cross. And he is free from the power of sin in daily life. And through the Spirit, he is also free from the law with its commands and threats. Because of what Christ did on the cross, the curse of the law and its power is ended once and for all. Grace and liberty go together. There is a caution, however. God does not want you to allow your liberty to degenerate into license. The fear of all people who do not understand the true meaning of the grace of God is, if you do away with rules and regulations, you will create chaos and anarchy. Now, this is a real danger, not because God's grace can fail, but because men fail to obtain the true grace of God. There are false teachers who use the grace of God to assign themselves power. And in the book of Jude, verse 4 says, "Do not change the grace of our God into a license for immorality." Paul's caution is a valid one. Christian liberty is not a license to sin. It is an opportunity to serve. Paul gives a command in verse 13. Love by serving one another. The key word and the key idea is love. Love takes the place of all the laws that God ever made. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself solves every problem of human relations. Love in the heart is God's substitute for laws and threats. Within each one of us lives the Holy Spirit, and that gives us the love we need. Law cannot force people to get along with each other. In the same way, no matter how many rules or standards a church may adopt, none of them guarantee spirituality. Unless a believer allows the Holy Spirit to fill the heart with love, selfishness and competition will rule. Extremes such as legalism and unrestricted liberty will destroy the fellowship of the church. The Holy Spirit is within each one of us, but he also uses the Word of God, prayer, worship, and the fellowship of believers to build us up. The second point Paul brings out about the ministry of the Holy Spirit is that this power enables us to overcome the weakness of the flesh. The Holy Spirit and the old nature are at odds with each other. They have different attitudes, and this creates a conflict. The conflict has been recorded in the Bible from Genesis through the book of Revelation. Now, an unsaved person is unaware of this struggle because there is no struggle. He does not have the Holy Spirit within, and he willingly follows the nature of the flesh. Paul was not denying that there is no victory possible in this conflict, but he points out that we cannot win this victory using our own strength and our own will. Your will is poorly equipped to battle against the sin nature, but God has provided the solution. Surrender your will to the Holy Spirit. In verse 18, Paul points out that if you allow this, then you are not under the law. Then Paul lists some of the works of the flesh. You will find similar lists in Mark, in Romans, and in 1 and 2 Timothy. Now, the sin nature is able to manufacture wrongdoing, but it is unable to produce the righteousness of God. Within this list, Paul divides it into three groups. First, the sexual group. Adultery and fornication are different areas of prohibited sexual activity, and uncleanliness, which is a filthy heart and a mind that defiles a person. The second group are the superstitious sins. Idolatry is still with us, and means putting anything ahead of God and worshiping man-made things. Instead of God, or worshiping man-made things instead of God. Witchcraft is allowing drugs and other things to bring about evil effects in people, and sorcery is forbidden in the Bible, along with all the activities of the occult. The third group of sins are the social sins. Hatred is an attitude which defiles others. This attitude leads to strife, and that is the child of hatred. Jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissension, envy, drunkenness, rivalries, are all self-explanatory. We know that all these things are the byproducts of the old sin nature, which seeks to appease itself. Paul says that in times past and continuing now, people who practice such things are not indwelt by the Spirit of God and will not inherit the kingdom of God. How does a believer handle the old nature when it is capable of producing such horrible things? The law cannot change or control the old nature. Paul says in verse 24 that the old nature must be crucified. Not only did Christ die for me, but I died with Christ. And the power of sin is broken because it has been crucified with Christ. The flesh has been crucified, and it is our responsibility to believe that this has happened and to act on it. You and I are no longer debtors to the flesh, but to the Spirit. We must accept what God has said about the old nature and not make it into something that it is not. We must not make provision for the flesh by feeding it the things that it enjoys. In the flesh dwells no good thing, and we should put no confidence in the flesh. The flesh cannot please God, and only through the Holy Spirit can we put to death the deeds that the flesh does in our body. The Holy Spirit is not only the Spirit of life, it is also the Spirit of death. It has given us the power to overcome the flesh, and it provides the power for us to overcome it. So Paul told us the Spirit gives us the power to fulfill the law of love. Then he told us that the Spirit of God gives us the power to overcome the weakness of the flesh. Now Paul goes on to tell us that the Holy Spirit has given us the power to produce fruit. So let's look at the difference between fruit works and fruit. A machine in a factory works and turns out a product, but it cannot manufacture fruit. Life is necessary to produce fruit. In the case of the believer, it is the life of the Spirit that grows fruit. The amazing thing is that the fruit that the Spirit produces has in it the seed for still more fruit. Love brings more love. Joy produces more joy. Jesus brought this out when he said in John chapter 15, "Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may produce more fruit." And a couple verses later, he said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." This is the way we glorify Christ. The New Testament speaks of two different kinds of fruits. People who want to be like Christ, holy living, gifts brought to God, good works, and praise. The fruit of the Spirit listed have to do with character. Now the gift, which is a singular word, the gift of the Spirit is salvation. And the gifts, which is plural, of the Spirit, which have to do with service, come from the grace of the Spirit, and they relate to Christian character. It is unfortunate that an overemphasis on gifts have led some Christians to neglect the grace provided by the Spirit. Building Christian character must take precedence over displaying special abilities. The characteristic that God wants in our lives are seen in the 9 terms used for the fruit of the Spirit. Paul begins with love, and all the other fruit is an outgrowth of love. This divine love is God's gift to us, and we must cultivate it and pray that it will increase. Now, different translations have different words for the next 8 gifts, so I may not have exactly what your Bible has translated the original words into. But joy speaks of joy, which is inward peace, and it is not affected by the circumstances of life. Love coupled with joy produces peace. Not a symbolic stopping of warlike gestures toward others, but it is the peace of God which passes all understanding. These first 3 qualities bring out the relationship that each one of us has with God. The next 3 express how we treat others. Long-suffering, which is endurance without end. Gentleness, which is kindness, and goodness, which shows love in the Christian life. A Christian will not wish difficulties on those who oppose him. He will be kind and gentle, even to the most offensive, and he will do so, wishing goodness where others would sow evil. Now to that, I reference the parable that Jesus spoke of the wheat and the tares. And if you missed Bob's Sunday school lesson on that, read it in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Now these 3 qualities can never be achieved by human nature, but the Holy Spirit can enable the person. The final three qualities are directed at us individually, and they are within us to help us. There is faith. There is meekness, which is power under control, and temperance, which is self-control. The meek Christian does not throw his weight around, and he is not overly assertive. Wisdom is the correct use of knowledge, and meekness is the correct use of authority and power. The old nature will attempt to replicate these fruits. The flesh can mimic the fruits of the Spirit, but it cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. And you got to look for the difference. When the Spirit produces fruit, God gets the glory. But the attempt by the flesh to mimic any of the fruits of the Spirit results in the person being inwardly proud and pleased when others compliment him. Spiritual gifts are to make us more like Christ for his glory. They are not meant to give us praise from man. Then there is the growing process. The Holy Spirit has given us these fruits, and it is our job to provide the right atmosphere so the fruit will grow. Without proper care, the fruit of the Spirit will not grow in every individual's life or in every church. Fruit grows best when it is blessed with an abundance of the Spirit and the Word. When you walk in the Spirit, you keep step in the Spirit, not running ahead nor lagging behind. Proper nurture involves the Word, praying, worship, praise, and fellowship with other believers. Fruit is produced to be used, not to be put in a bowl for a pretty picture. People you come in contact with every day are starving for love, joy, peace, and the other gifts of the Spirit. When they see those gifts in our life, many know that we have something they lack. It will take patience. The atmosphere of the Spirit, walking in the light, the seed of the Word of God, and a sincere desire to honor Christ, to use the gifts as God has intended you to do. The secret ingredient for every believer in this process is the Holy Spirit. Well, now it's not a secret. He gives us the freedom that Roosevelt didn't mention, the freedom from sin and the freedom from our own sin nature. The Spirit enables us to fulfill the law of love, and he gives us the power to overcome the flesh, and then we have the power to bear fruit. Any saved person has this power within him already. Yield to his Holy Spirit and let him work through you. That's it for tonight. I'm out of pages. So we're going to break away in a few minutes from online. We have a brand new prayer sheet. And gee, I don't know if it's different from the other. Whoops. The inside is upside down. Huh? I got a defect. Oh well. But if you're at home, you don't have to stop from praying. Pray for this country. Pray for the world in conflict. You see it clearly on the news.